It's the Lord's day. It's the Lord's house. This is the Lord's time. Amen. And now's the time to worship Him. Amen. Amen. Now's the time to not be ashamed of Him. No, not in God's house. We should never be ashamed of the Lord anywhere, but especially in God's house. Amen. We should say so, as the Bible says. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God bids you to do something for the Lord, for His glory. I'm talking the Holy Spirit is leading you as a child of God. And, you know, if you're having trouble with that, and I'm saying this as your pastor, if you're having trouble with that, that's where you need to grow. The Lord tells us to try the Spirit, see where they be of God. It tells us to be led by the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You begin to learn the voice of the Lord and discern what the Spirit of the Lord's will is for your life in a service. And sometimes it may just be to pray. And other times it may be to sing or to testify. And, you know, it just goes on and on. I can remember when God first started to call me into the ministry. And I was just a young child of God and very confused. But that was one thing He made very clear. And I can remember praying, Brother Mike, asking God, Lord, I'll do anything. I'll sing in the choir. Lord, I'll teach Sunday school. Everything but that. But preaching His word was right, just like it was right in my face. Every time I closed my eyes and bowed my head, it was right there. It just God just would not let that leave, and dealt with me probably stronger than He did when He was trying to get me saved. And this is, it may be because I was more aware of how the Holy Spirit worked, you know, after God saved me than before. I'm sure that's part of what it was. It seemed stronger, but it was more evident. And you begin to learn, and you grow, and you grow, and you trust the Lord, and your faith gets stronger. And so you obey the Lord, and you walk with the Lord. Amen. And you look to this book to find answers. God will speak to you through His word. Amen. And anyways, I'm not preaching on that this morning, but I just wanted to encourage somebody. This morning we are looking in the book of Jude. The book of Jude. And I've got some other verses that I will be looking at. The book of Jude. This one chapter book. A book concerning the faith, concerning the walk of the believer, concerning the end time. Jude, in verse 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for those of you, in case you don't know who Jude's talking about here, it is those that deny that Jesus is God, He is God's Son, He is deity, He is the only Lord God. There are religions today, and we have them all around us, that they will use the name of Jesus Christ and even use the phrase Lord, but they don't recognize Him as God, the Son. Son of God and God the Son. Deity. The God that all things were made by Him. They deny Him. And He asked them to earnestly contend for the faith. That means for you and I to fight for the faith, not fist fight, but to stand when it comes to our Lord and let the world know who He is. Amen. You're wrong. This is who He is. Amen. He is God. And He encourages and charges them about many things. He puts them in remembrance in verse 5. How that God had saved the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And He talks about the angels that kept not their first estate. In verse number 6, He talked about Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh. He's talking about filthy dreamers in verse 8. He's talking about Satan and the intervention between Michael and him about the body of Moses. Satan wanted the body of Moses. And Michael said, "The Lord rebuke thee." What Jude is doing is he is showing that there are so many enemies in so many ways. It's not just the fallen angels. It's whole cities of men that choose to live an ungodly way. It is Satan himself. It is also those in religion that are among us. And he says they gone in the way of Cain, ran greedily after the heir of Balaam in verse 11, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. He's talking about their belief, their doctrine. These are spots in your feast of charity, he said in verse 12. Look how Jude identifies them. He said, feeding themselves without fear in your feast. They're right in among us. No fear. No conviction. The truth does not bother them. He said they're clouds without water. Empty. He says this. He said they're carried about of winds. Now what he's given us a picture of a cloud that just carried about of winds and it has no water. It's empty. It's useless. And it's carried about of winds, which speaks of how that they are carried about of every wind of doctrine. He said they are trees whose fruit withers. He said without fruit. Fruitless trees. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raving waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, in whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Like a star out in the dark universe. You know what all it's ever going to know? One of those wandering stars, all it's ever going to know is darkness. That's all it'll ever know. He said, Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, here's what Enoch saw. He saw the revelation of Jesus Christ. He didn't see the rapture of the church. He saw the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is after the tribulation. He said, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Not for 10,000s of his saints, but with. That's when we come back with him to execute judgment. So he's talking about an end time, talking about these that are in our midst, talking about how we must contend for the faith, how you and I are to live in these last days, in their dark days. I know I've preached on that same title before, how to live in the last days, but there's a lot in this book to help you and I to know how you and I are to be as God's people, with the last days surrounding us, with evil men all around us. How are you and I to respond? How are we to continue on? Where do we gain our strength? What are we to do? Well, the Bible tells us here in the book of Jude, verse 21. I noticed this as I was reading this again this morning. He tells them, keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in the love of God. If there is one thing that is more powerful than anything else, it's the love of God. The world cannot stand against God's love. Love covers a multitude of sins. You know that. God's love is powerful. God's love is what you and I have been, why we have been saved and how we are kept. We are kept by the love of God. When he said, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. He is telling you and I what to do in these last days. With all of this that looks very dark, and it is dark. I mean, we are in dark days. If you can't see that we're living in dark days, even with the sun shining, then your sight is mixed up. I'm sad to say, surely any spiritual child of God knows
These are dark days. Dark days that we're living in. The apostle Paul, he wrote about them. Peter wrote about them. Paul wrote about them in the book of Romans. He said that knowing the time in chapter 13 of Romans. Now knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation. He's not talking about us getting saved. He's already saved. Our deliverance is God's people. The rapture. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Listen, the day you and I believed, the clock started ticking down for us to be raptured. Amen? And the time is just getting nearer and nearer and nearer. That's how a child of God is supposed to look at time. You and I are to look at time, not in the essence of the great white throne judgment, though that'll come. Not in the 1,000-year reign. What a blessing that will be. But time is ticking for you and I to be delivered. That's the first big event for you and me that are saved. And that's how we need to look at time. Our salvation is nearer than when I first believed, than when I first got saved. That'll encourage you. Listen, I know I've been discouraged thinking time's getting worse and worse and darker and darker. And we tend to look at that side of the hand, that side of time. But the Lord wants us to look at the other side. That's our salvation. Our salvation is nearer than when we believe. The Lord coming to get you and I out of here, put us in a new body, amen, to rapture us out that we could be with Him. Night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. First thing to do. You and I, even in a dark day, to cast off the works of darkness. We know what is dark and what is light. We are the children of light. We are not of darkness. Those things that are not of light, those things that are not of faith, we cast them off. Cast off the works of darkness. Those sinful things, the nature of the flesh. And he even gives us a few examples. Let us put on the armor of light. Amen. Put on the armor of light. What is that, Brother Mark, the armor of light? I believe that it's another way of having the Word of God in our lives. It's like an armor put upon us. A spiritual armor. How was it that our Lord reflected the temptation of Satan that came at Him three times? It was by the Word of God. The Word of God is many things. It's like a hammer that smashes. It's like a two-edged sword that cuts. It's also like an armor. Are you listening to me? And so he says to put on the armor of light. And this word gives us light. Light, the armor of light. When you and I are walking in the light of God's truth, walking in the light of God's truth, it is an armor to us. Why? Because you don't find yourself in the tempting areas of the world that you one time would have. There's something about the armor that you have on that keeps you from being cut by the enemy. We don't find ourselves in near as many skirmishes. Are you listening to me? Simply by having the armor of light on. Simply by knowing the will of God. Knowing what the Lord said. Let us walk honestly as in the day. Listen, just being an honest person. honest before God would keep you from a lot of temptation, keep us from much sin, keep us out of darkness, walking honestly, not in rioting and drunkenness. Listen, you and I don't have no place with the world out here yelling and screaming at people. Are you listening to me? Burning stuff down in all hours of the night like a drunken man. Not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. And you and I must be very careful that we don't allow Satan, even against those enemies, that we don't have strife or envying. People begin to wish they could do some of those things or be like some of them. That's when you get yourself in trouble. When a Christian starts wanting to look and be like the world is, or like someone else is that may not be fully clothed with the armor of God, the armor of life. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make not provision for the flesh. Don't make provision for the flesh. In these last days, Jesus spoke a parable. You know what he said about one of them? He began to eat and to drink with a drunken. He made provision for the flesh. Made provision for the flesh. If you're going to stay away, listen, if you're going to keep from sin, walk in the light, don't make provision for the flesh. Don't put yourself in a situation that you might sin or that you may destroy your testimony. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In these dark days, somebody needs to be walking uprightly as the Lord has commanded us to and told us to. You and I have a Christian liberty. Amen, that God has given us. God has given us grace and power to walk in liberty. Amen. And sin not. Isn't that right? Amen. Peter spoke about the days that we're living in. And he said in 2 Peter chapter number 3, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And he said, I want you to be mindful of the words which were spoken of by the holy apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's good for us to remember the words of the apostles. Real men that were born again just like we're born again. But men that saw the Lord. Men that walked with Him. Men that even though they were right there with Him, failed, sinned, but then obtained great victory and gave their lives. Seems like sometimes in the Christian life, I mean, because the darker the day got, and it got dark for them, they were being rounded up, cast in prison, killed. Rome came in and just flattened Jerusalem. The temple was gone. It got dark for them. They had Christ in them. They were the church. And maybe it was needed that all of that, that was a picture of the Old Testament, was taken away from them, that they could walk in the New Testament. Walk trusting Christ by faith and His precious blood. Amen. Realizing they didn't need the wash basins anymore to wash their hands of the blood from the endless lambs and calves that were sacrificed on the altar of God for the sins of the people. Why? Because Christ came. As a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Thank God now they had a message to give the world. God loved the world, gave us His Son, His Lamb, to die for the sins of man. Brother, they went around the world giving that message. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine having that message? He arose. He arose. He arose for the first time. Look, just because we've heard it so much that it bounces off of us, shame on us. It should stir us and excite us to know that same message, the same words that the apostles carried, we carry. Keep carrying the same words in these last days. Men have wanted to change it. They've changed it through many versions of the Bible. They've changed it through many denominations of Catholicism, through Protestantism, which you and I never were. We're Baptists. We've always been Baptists. Baptists have always been. They may not have always been called Baptists, but that their doctrine was Baptist. They baptized. Amen. Their salvation was of the Lord. They were secure in Christ. Amen. They preached repentance and faith. They preached all the things that you and I... But other denominations, listen, they've left those things. They've left and they leave things out and they turn and they rest scriptures. But He said, I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you be mindful of the words spoken before the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers. Again, we will face enemies. Scoffers. Those mockers, those that belittle other people and their ideas. That's what a scoffer is. A false teacher walking after their own lust. And this is lust for that which is strictly forbidden. You're never going to listen. By God's grace, this pastor say it's all right for us to have a beer sling in the church or whatever it was they were having up north. This pastor is not going to say it's okay to become members of the local church. You're not going to hear that out of this pastor, by God's grace. These say some things that's forbidden. Some things God has put in His Word, and He's made it clear it's a sin. Then there are others, He said, it's an abomination in the sight of God. You and I must stand, must stand, must stand. We must take God at His Word. Listen, I have zero interest in putting anything on your life or in my life, in my family's lives, that I cannot see as an example or plain in black and white in this book. But if I can see it in this book, I'll tell it to you. What you do with it's your business. I'm just a lowly pastor in the mountains. I've got one job. It's to search this book, search the pages, study to show myself approved. One able, are you listening? To teach the multitude. That's the only job I've got. Bring you the truth before God Almighty. Bring you the truth. Bring you what thus saith the Lord. And I'm going to hurt your feelings sometimes. If it hurts your feelings, listen, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to strengthen you. I'm trying to get you going in the direction God would have you to go. I thank God that I had a man of God that looked at me and told me when my life was in need of so much of God's Word. I learned. Why? Because I had a preacher. I had a pastor that didn't change. And he stood on these things. And he brought them from the book. Lord have mercy. But there's going to be scoffers walking after their own lust, those forbidden things, and they're going to be saying this because it's so dark, and they want it to get darker and darker and darker and darker. What are they saying? Where is the promise of His coming? You know, I looked at that thing. Where is the promise of His coming? I looked at it in two different ways. One, where is His advent? Where is the promise of His coming? In other words, why haven't we seen Him? He promised He'd come. Where is He? But then here's another way to look at it. Where is the promise of His coming? In other words, looking in this book and saying, where is the announcement? The divine biblical assurance that He's actually going to come. Do you know that there are many even scholars that do not see the rapture of the church in Scripture? They say, where is it? It's not in the Bible. They accuse us of you know, taking something out of context. And many of them, listen, they don't even believe in the second advent the way we believe. They think it's some kind of a spiritual thing that has to do with when people die. That the Lord will come and get you. I'm going to tell you something. I think God knows the difference between the grave and in the clouds in the air. I think He knows the difference of coming for His saints and coming with His saints. My Lord's not confused with adverbs and adjectives and nouns and pronouns. Are you listening to me? God's not confused in His language and what He says and what He's promised. I'll tell you this, what He has promised, He will perform it. It's what the Scripture said. Amen. God will perform His promise. They say, where is the promise of His coming? Where is it? They said all things continue. You know, the fathers, since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. The very first formation is what they're saying. That nothing's changed. Well, there's been a lot changed. Been a lot happened. You say, what all's happened, Brother Mark? Everything God said would happen. Amen. That first huge event, God told Noah it was going to rain, and it did. It destroyed everything on the earth. God put a rainbow in the sky. God did that. And said, that'll be a reminder to you, Noah. I'll never destroy this earth with water again. Not like this. But He did say He'd burn it with fire. The next time He comes, He's going to burn it with fire. Are you hearing me? Oh my. Listen, God tells us. He said, He explains the whole thing. Many things that happened since the creation. Since the beginning of the creation. But they were willingly ignorant of it, He said. that by the word of God the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. God will judge. Better be sure of that. Just like there was a flood, there'll be a judgment. He said in verse 8, and I love this verse, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Where is the promise of His coming? He's not slack concerning His promise. Don't you worry about His promise. He's not slack in any of them. Amen. He's going to come. The day of the Lord, He said, will come as a thief in the night. Amen. He said, seeing then all these things should be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? Peter was even looking at the second advent. Why? Because it's all going to happen so fast. The rapture is going to take place. Listen, 7 years later, we're coming back with Him. 1,000-year reign begins. Are you hearing me? And that 1,000 years is going to fly by just like one day. What's going to happen to us, Brother Mark? We're going to be with Him. The Bible tells us to keep ourselves in the love of God. Put on the armor of light. Our salvation's nearer than when we believe. He said in 2 Peter 3, I'm about done. Verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, Peter said, as also in all his epistles, speaking them these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Be diligent. Grow in grace. Put on the armor of light. Continue in the love of God. Focus on your Christian life, the Christ life, Christ in you. You concentrate on that more than it getting dark. More than the mockers and the scoffers. You be what Christ has saved you to be. You grow in that. And you concentrate. Because listen, that's what the devil wants. He wants us all to stand around and just... You know what happened yesterday? I didn't even know I was going to say anything about this during the message. A young 20-year-old man decided he was going to try to take President Trump's life from a rooftop. Shot off 6-8 rounds before being killed. When all that was going on, there was two things happening. People just stopped and just looked. But then there were others that were doing what they were supposed to be doing.
They ran to the president and threw themselves over him. Others were getting in position, looking, trying to find out where everything was coming from. But many others were just looking, what's going on, and doing nothing. God don't want us just to be a empty-minded spectator in these last days. He wants us doing something. He wants us keeping ourselves in the love of God. God's love is most powerful. Listen, that's how the world will know you and I are His and His disciples, because we have love for one another. Because we love sinners and reaching out to save sinners. Not that we can save them. You know what I'm talking about. Pulling them out of the fire, as one apostle said. Be what the Lord would have you to be. I want you to stand. Bless your heart.